Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Survival Game, How Game Theory Explains the Biology of Human Cooperation and Competition by David P. Barash is a work of popular science that connects evolutionary biology, animal behavior, psychology, and strategic decision theory. Its central purpose is to show how game theory can clarify patterns of cooperation and conflict that appear across living systems, including human societies. Rather than treating cooperation as a purely moral achievement or competition as simple selfishness, Barash presents both as outcomes shaped by evolutionary pressures, repeated interaction, resource limits, and reproductive interests. The book is especially concerned with evolutionary game theory, a form of analysis in which strategies succeed or fail according to their biological payoffs over time. Written for informed general readers as well as students of biology and social behavior, it explains abstract models through recognizable problems such as altruism, retaliation, mating, aggression, and social coordination. Its value lies in making strategic logic visible beneath behavior that often appears emotional, instinctive, or ethical. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, evolutionary game theory as a tool for explaining behavior without assuming perfect rationality. A central contribution of The Survival Game is its use of evolutionary game theory to explain biological behavior without depending on the unrealistic assumption that organisms consciously calculate every move. Classical game theory often begins with rational players who know their interests and choose optimal strategies. Barash shifts the emphasis towards strategies that persist because they work in evolutionary terms. An animal or a human acting under inherited and cultural influences does not need to understand mathematics for a behavioral pattern to spread if it improves survival or reproduction. This approach is important because it connects formal models to natural selection. Strategies are tested by consequences, not intentions. If a pattern of aggression, restraint, sharing, or deception produces better long-term outcomes in a particular environment, it can become stable within a population. The book, therefore, treats behavior as strategic in effect, even when it is not deliberate in the ordinary sense. This framing helps readers avoid two common errors, reducing human conduct to conscious self-interest alone, or treating cooperative behavior as mysterious because it seems to contradict self-interest. Barash shows that biological explanation can include both competition and cooperation within the same analytical structure. Secondly, repeated interaction makes cooperation biologically plausible among self-interested individuals. One of the most important themes in the book is the problem of cooperation among organisms that have their own interests. In a single encounter, exploiting another individual may appear advantageous, especially when there is no future cost. Repeated interaction changes the calculation. When individuals are likely to meet again, present behavior influences future responses, making trust, reciprocity, and retaliation strategically relevant. Barash uses game-theoretic reasoning associated with the iterated prisoner dilemma to explain how cooperation can emerge without requiring saintly motives or external enforcement. A cooperative act can be favored when it invites future cooperation, while exploitation can become costly if it triggers withdrawal or punishment. The logic of reciprocal altruism is central here. Helping another may benefit the helper over time if the relationship continues and cheating can be detected. This reasoning is especially useful for understanding social animals and humans, whose lives are structured by repeated encounters in families, groups, alliances, and communities. The book does not claim that cooperation is automatic or morally pure. It shows that cooperation can be a stable strategy when memory, recognition, future contact, and proportionate response make defection less profitable. Thirdly, aggression and restraint are strategic outcomes shaped by costs, risks, and signals. The survival game treats competition not as a simple drive toward violence, but as a strategic problem shaped by costs and benefits. In evolutionary terms, aggression can secure territory, mates, food, or status, but it can also bring injury, energy loss, retaliation, or death. Game theory helps explain why many conflicts in nature involve display, threat, escalation, or retreat rather than constant lethal combat. The key point is that winning is not always worth the price. A strategy that fights in every case may be eliminated if its costs exceed its gains, while a strategy that never resists may also fail if it invites exploitation. Barash uses this kind of reasoning to show how restraint can be adaptive rather than weak. Signaling becomes important because organisms may benefit from communicating strength, commitment, or willingness to escalate without paying the full cost of battle. This framework also applies to human social conflict, where reputation, deterrence, status, and retaliation shape decisions. The book encourages readers to see aggression as part of a broader strategic system. Competition is not merely an opposite of cooperation. it is often governed by rules, expectations, and evolve limits that reduce unnecessary loss. Fourthly, mating behavior and social organization reveal conflicts between individual and shared interests. Barash extends game-theoretic analysis to mating strategies and social organization, areas where cooperation and competition are deeply intertwined. Reproduction creates powerful conflicts of interest because individuals may benefit from choices that do not equally benefit mates, rivals, offspring, or the group. Courtship. Prash, mate guarding, parental investment, sexual competition, and alliance formation can all be understood as strategic situations in which different participants face different incentives. The value of game theory in this context is that it makes trade-offs explicit. A strategy that increases mating opportunities may reduce parental effort. A strategy that strengthens pair bonds may limit alternative options. A cooperative social arrangement may be stable only when participants receive enough benefit to discourage defection. And this approach avoids sentimental accounts of social life while also avoiding a crude view of organisms as isolated competitors. Social systems can persist because they manage conflicts, distribute benefits, and reduce uncertainty. In human beings, biological predispositions interact with culture, norms, and institutions, but the underlying strategic tensions remain recognizable. The book uses these themes to show that social bonds are not outside evolutionary logic. They are often built from negotiated compromises among overlapping and competing interests. Lastly, the explanatory power and limits of modeling human cooperation through biology. A distinctive feature of The Survival Game is its effort to use game theory as an explanatory bridge rather than as a total explanation of human life. Barash shows that models can clarify why cooperation, retaliation, altruism, aggression, and trust are not random or purely cultural phenomena. At the same time, the strength of a model lies in simplification, and simplification has limits. Human beings operate within language, moral systems, institutions, symbolic identities, and historical conditions that cannot be fully reduced to payoff diagrams. The book is most useful when read as a framework for disciplined thinking rather than as a manual that predicts every social outcome. Its models reveal the pressures that make certain behaviors plausible, but they do not erase variation, learning, or ethical choice. This balanced use of game theory matters because biological explanations can be misunderstood as claims that behavior is fixed or justified by nature. Barash instead presents evolutionary logic as a way to understand tendencies and constraints. And readers gain a vocabulary for analyzing cooperation and competition, while still recognizing that human societies can alter incentives, punish cheating, reward trust, and design institutions that change the strategic environment. In conclusion, The Survival Game is well suited to readers who want a scientifically grounded explanation of social behavior without entering a technical textbook. It will be especially useful for students and general readers interested in evolutionary biology, behavioral ecology, psychology, anthropology, political conflict, or the roots of cooperation. Its practical benefit is not a list of direct management techniques, but a clearer way to think about interaction when future contact matters, when retaliation is credible, when trust can stabilize, and when competition becomes too costly. Intellectually, the book helps readers understand why altruism and self-interest are not always opposites. Cooperation can be an outcome of strategic conditions, while competition can be moderated by risk, signaling, and repeated exchange. Compared with broader popular books on human nature, it stands out through its focused use of game theory as a connecting framework. Compared with more mathematical works on game theory, it is more biologically grounded and more accessible to non-specialists. Its strongest quality is the integration of formal strategic ideas with examples drawn from evolution and social behavior. Readers seeking detailed policy prescriptions may find it more theoretical than applied, but those looking for a disciplined explanation of cooperation and competition will find it a concise and useful bridge between biology and social science. If you would like to support David P. Barash, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.